A reading of selected verses from Isaiah 36 and 37, then Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah, King Sennacherib of Assyria came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. The king of Assyria sent the Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem with a great army. He stood by the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field. And there came out to him Eliakim son of Hilkiah, who was in charge of the palace, and Shebna the secretary, and Joah son of Asaph the recorder. Then the Rabshakeh stood and called out in a loud voice in the language of Judah, "Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Do not let Hezekiah make you rely on the Lord by saying, 'The Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria.' Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, 'Make your peace with me and come out to me. Then every one of you will eat from your own vine and your own fig tree and drink water from your own cistern until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Do not let Hezekiah mislead you by saying, "The Lord will save us." Has any of the gods of the nations saved their land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who among all the gods of these countries have saved their countries out of my hand, that the Lord should save Jerusalem out of my hand?" When King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was in charge of the palace, and Shebna the secretary, and the senior priests covered with sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah son of Amoz. They said to him, "Thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of distress, of rebuke, and of disgrace. Children have come to the birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God heard the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to mock the living God, and will rebuke the words that the Lord your God has heard. Therefore lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left." When the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, "Say to your master, 'Thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have reviled me. I myself will put a spirit in him so that he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land. I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land.'" The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. "In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths.' For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Last Wednesday, Robert Bailey stood on a stage in Queens, New York, and received a check for almost $334 million. Robert Bailey is an African-American machine worker, now retired from the United States Postal Service. At age 67, he's won the largest prize ever.
in the history of the New York lottery. With the money, he plans to get his house, his mother a house and some land, to travel and invest the funds, and also to give something meaningful back, he says, to the city of Manhattan. This enormous jackpot came to him overnight, but the moment also took a lifetime to arrive. Bailey has been playing the same six numbers on lottery tickets purchased every day for the last 25 years. The odds of him winning were all around 1 in 115,000. But he knew that it was possible. And so on a rainy Saturday morning in October, just like every other day in, day out, he bought a ticket. And this was the winning ticket. He kept trying for that win despite losses that mounted every day for decades, trusting in what he knew could be true despite the odds against it. It's become a lifelong habit for him now. Even on his way to the awards ceremony on Wednesday, he stopped for more tickets, telling a reporter, "I'm going to ride this out. I can't stop now." Robert Bailey is the latest example of people who believe in what appears to be impossible, who structure and live their lives in pursuit of that goal, and who have the uncommon joy of seeing their faith vindicated. It's that sort of faith. Faith in the unlikely but nevertheless possible future that guides the prophet Isaiah in our reading today. I don't know the odds of these massively outnumbered Israelites surviving an attack by the far superior Assyrians. But I'll tell you, it didn't look good at all. The Assyrians had invaded Judah and toppled one city after another. They backed the Hebrew people with its puny army into the walls of Jerusalem, their last stand. It seems certain that Assyria will do to Judah what it has done to so many others before. The Assyrian commander, standing in for pragmatic voices everywhere, calls on the Hebrew people to consider their chances reasonably. The chances that King Hezekiah's refusal to submit would lead to a victory somehow. He casts a chilling vision instead of the human consequences when Jerusalem is besieged and suggests how much better it would be for them, really, to do the practical thing, the reasonable thing, to consent to Assyria's rule. Against the idea that God would save these people, the commander points to all the ruined cities who've gone before, who claim that the saving power of their God would deliver them. Nope. Nope. Jerusalem, he says, will be just another example like theirs. King Hezekiah's fearful leaders bring reports of all this to the prophet Isaiah, who tells them that the facts on the ground are not the only facts at play. There's also the fact that the God of the universe, the creator of the cosmos, and the creator and guarantor of the Hebrew people still stands ready to assist. Isaiah says that God will work, perhaps imperceptibly, but also inexhaustibly. God will work to bring about a lasting, a permanent peace. This is the unlikely but still possible future that the prophet trusts in and calls the people to trust in as well, despite all the odds. History tells us that Assyria did indeed abandon its siege of Jerusalem, just as surely as Robert Bailey finally got his winning ticket. Now, I'm not going to compare being a part of the church to buying a lottery ticket very often, but here goes. There is something parallel to this life of faith. Isaiah, the other prophets, and Jesus himself hold out a vision for our future that flies in the face of what we might see like those Israelites every day. In days to come, Isaiah says, just wait, you wait and see, God's presence will be unmistakable. God will be in the center of all things, like a North Pole star around which everything else turns. God's light will be seen, manifest throughout all the earth as a lighthouse shows the way to safe passage. God will be that visible, and God's justice will settle every dispute. So there will be no more need of war. Deadly weapons will become instruments of life instead. Swords will be beaten into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. These are the visions of peace, which we hear about from Scripture, and I suspect that they still sound as far-fetched to us now as they did to the Hebrew people then. Nevertheless, people have been inspired for generations since by these possibilities, so inspired that they take everyday actions which make for peace. Everyday actions over years that carry this vision along, choosing to turn the other cheek, to reply in humble and peacemaking ways instead of assault and attack. These everyday actions are the ways we buy our tickets towards that future, because we believe with Isaiah and the other prophets that another world than what we see, another world is indeed possible. We believe in a God of faith, hope, love, and peace, even though the world is often anything but those things. This church, alongside every other church or synagogue, temple or mosque, or place where people of good conscience gather, this place, this community, keeps that vision alive. We inherit this kind of faith from our ancestors, and we baptize our children into it, so that they too can await the coming of God's holy realm. And because of the vision of what is indeed possible, people do the small actions of love and compassion that make peace more likely in the long run. I wonder, what is it? What impossible vision does your heart yearn for? What seems so far-fetched it's only a pipe dream? And yet our faith tells us it's possible. For a healing of relationships that have been torn by the trials of life. For family gatherings, maybe even this Thursday, that bring harmony for once instead of division. For work that is meaningful and life-giving rather than frenzied and life-denying. For an end to climate change with all its calamitous fires and storms and diseases. We wait for children to grow up in the safe embrace only of adults, with time to nurture their growing, for wars to cease, for peaceful homes that every refugee might come to rest in, for racism to end, as well as the end to bias against every type of difference that is among us. What vision feels far off, and yet so necessary, so real, that we will take everyday actions ourselves to see it come to pass? This, I believe, is what we are called into as people of faith. The far off but very real vision that we collectively call the reign of God, that we commit ourselves to every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." I know that the odds aren't great that we will see the kingdom of God in our own time before I die. But it will come to pass, we believe, at some point, just as people always seem to win the lottery week after week. That which is unlikely is still very much possible. And I want to be part of a community that is inspired by that vision, which makes everyday small movements to bring about that reality. I want to stand with people like you who take great and small steps in the direction of God's realm, who do our part to show that together in this congregation and with those far beyond it, we are doing the things that make for peace, that turn swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. That's why I believe we show up here week after week. That's why we give of our time and talent throughout the weeks in the places where you work or shop or at home or here at church. That's why we pledge. That's why we give of the money God has given to us to support this vision of God's realm on earth as it is in heaven, even though we may not live to see it fully realized in our own time. Because after all, who's to say what's possible and what's not? The Rabshakeh thought one thing was absolutely inevitable, and yet Isaiah and God had another thing in mind. God's own prophets and the people who bear God's vision down through the ages to today have seen the kingdom of God coming over millennia, and even to us and through us now. We believe with them that the peace Isaiah speaks about is not only possible, but indeed it is inevitable. It's a matter of time and a matter of simple, trusting communities like ours that show up to buy our tickets on that peace train. This is our time to do our part. And this is God's time to keep a vision like that alive in our hearts, in this community, and for the world. I'm not normally a betting man, but I will wager everything I have on that vision. Thanks be to God. Amen.